We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, thanks to Jim Larrañaga, and hour number one got... Coach, y'all got 650 wins the other night, 650th win.
Good for him.
The other night at Illinois, that was a great win, 180 at the University of Miami. He's taken University of Miami basketball to some pretty unique places, to be quite honest with you.
And you don't mean
Europe,
and you don't mean...
No, two Sweet 16s, two other NCAA tournament bids, as high as number, three or four in the country a couple years ago. So congratulations to Coach L, 650 wins. Greg Rousseau, ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Still to come on the show will be Will Mowry, Hurricanes tight end. But now we take more of a national view and also more of an ACC view with Virginia and Clemson playing on Saturday. And joining us now from ESPN is David Hale. David, good evening. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for being with us. Wild week in, I guess every week is wild in college football. But coming up, the championship games, Clemson and Virginia. What did you make of Dabo the other day coming out? I really didn't see a lot of it, but I guess he was complaining that Clemson's not getting enough respect. All I know is every time I look on the scoreboard, they're scoring like 50 points a game.
Yeah, I think Dabo is he does a really good job of playing the Clark Griswold just aw shucks type of guy, but there's a lot more sort of Machiavellian tricks up his sleeve, I think, that people don't necessarily appreciate. And when he says stuff like this, it is for a reason. He wants to get that out there. He wants people talking about the fact that the undefeated, winning every game by 50 points, defending national champions, are currently ranked third in the playoff rankings. And look, I think you can make a valid case for Clemson. They have not played a particularly difficult schedule. That is through no fault of their own. They certainly aren't recruiting the guys to all of the other schools that they play. They aren't hiring the coaches there. They're just going out and doing what they have to do, and they've done it really, really well this year. I think, the flip side is, how do you not credit Ohio State and LSU for what they've done? They have gone out and beaten really good teams. So I think Dabo's not without some valid points here. On the other hand, I think he is probably not going to get a ton of sympathy from folks when you're looking at Ohio State and LSU also playing the way that they're playing against a much tougher schedule.
But if you're Dabo Sweeney and you're worried solely about your program, which is really what it all boils down to, it's given him some leverage on his players about building up the attitude that we've been forgotten and we're not respected. And, it's helped him a lot, too, in my opinion. I would prefer to be in his spot than sitting riding the number one wave week after week in the last couple of years, because it's – all of a sudden, those players stop listening to you as much.
Well, it is the mad genius of Dabo Sweeney that he manages to do this. I remember talking to some folks after the national championship game last year, and Clemson goes out and blows the doors off of Alabama. And I said, well, if there's one thing to come of this, Dabo won't be able to play the nobody believes in us card anymore. And darned if he isn't able to do it somehow anyway. So I'm wondering if he's maybe paying off the playoff committee to put them third, because I totally agree with you. This certainly helps his job when it comes to motivating a bunch of guys who just went out and won a national championship last year, and many of whom really don't have a whole ton to prove anymore at the college level. And yet, here they are with a chip on their shoulder talking about being overlooked. It's sort of a hard thing to believe that the team that was destroying Alabama less than a year ago is the team playing the nobody believes in us card again this year. But it's Dabo's wheelhouse, and he certainly enjoys doing it.
Well, I've seen in him more this year than ever before an edge. You know, it seems like he's trying to he's putting out an edge nationally with his personality, and he's expecting that to rub off on his team.
Yeah, and I mean, look, this is the thing. This is why a guy like Nick Saban is such a genius and so brilliant at what he does. It is hard to get the same guys where expectations are that high every year to go out every day. It's not just the Saturdays, and particularly in the ACC, the Saturdays where you're probably not playing the best competition. It's the Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays where you're going out and getting ridden into the ground in practice and you know, beating up your body and pushing yourself to new levels. That is a hard thing to tell guys to do when a lot of these guys got the NFL waiting for them in not too long, when most of these guys have a ring on their finger already from last year. It is really hard to do. And beyond that, you have a level of external pressures, people that want more from you when you have a national championship trophy from last year standing there. And I remember talking to Mac Brown about this, that he said, you know, after you won one at Texas, the march to get there was really hard, but to keep it there was so much harder, mm-hmm. because you just start to realize all that comes into play when you are a national champion. And Dabo's now done it twice. And I think he learned after the first one that you can't just sell the same mantra again, that you have to keep building, that you have to keep adjusting. And again, nobody's done that any better than Nick Saban. And in a modern day and age where there's so many people talking about you and writing about you and all of that, it's a hard job. And I think what you're seeing from Dabo is sort of the next level of what has to be done in order to not just build a national championship caliber team, but maintain that team and that caliber of play over time.
I would pick up on that point, not to turn this into a Miami segment. So I'll lump Miami, Florida State, Texas, and USC into this. And that would be all those teams, including Miami, have been to the top, have had some of the greatest teams in the history of college football, have obviously have not been able to maintain that over the last 10 years. And I swear to you, I think part of the reason is that everybody thinks, including the players, that if you wear the USC jersey, the Miami jersey, the Texas jersey, you're either A, entitled to win, or B, you're just going to win without anything that goes into actually winning.
And it's an interesting thing. Like, and I've talked to multiple Miami coaches about this, is how much do you embrace the past and the history? Because it is a great thing. I mean, when you're selling Miami, of course you're selling the tradition and history of Miami. And the same goes for USC or Nebraska or places like that. But by doing that, you are essentially kind of selling that there is something inherently unique about being there that makes you good. And that's not it. The uniform is the same, but the players are different, the coaches are different, the expectations are different. But let's be honest, the entire game of college football, the industry of college football, has changed markedly since the last time Miami was at the upper echelon level, really since USC or Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska is one of those programs that I think we talk about now and wonder, honestly, has the game passed that program by? I think Miami, you can still, Florida State, USC, I think people mostly look at them and say, eventually things are going to get back on the right track. You know, I don't even know. I don't know about that either. There is, again, you have to sell the history of Miami because it's too good not to. But you also got to start selling within your own ranks that it takes more than just putting on that jersey to get to where Clemson is and where Alabama is and where certainly LSU and Ohio State think they are this year. That is a long run. It's funny because I've I got into a long sort of debate with some other ACC fan bases on Twitter this week about where does the ACC stand and how does the ACC kind of improve on what has been a pretty bad image this year. And my point is that Florida State and Miami have to be good because those are programs that have the potential to get there, even if they're not. And others were saying, well, what about NC State? Or what about North Carolina? Or what about Virginia Tech? You know, we've done things this or that or whatever. And I'm like, you know, you can have a 10-win season every now and again. But I think, you know, 8-9 wins, teams can do that. 10-11-12 consistently is such a challenge. I think fans, I think the presidents and ADs even don't quite realize what it takes to be able to win at that level consistently. And there's really, I mean, a handful of programs and a handful of coaches who have done it.
Listen, Wake Forest and Duke, God bless them, and Duke beat Miami. There were 8,000 people in the stands the other night.
If
that. Duke played Wake Forest, and the weather is bad. There might have been 5,000 people in the stands. North Carolina, Mack Brown did challenge their fan base this year. They did sell out their home games, but they also had Miami and Clemson at home this year. They care about basketball in the Triangle, and that's why Miami and Florida State have to be better in football. And the league, by the way, could help that situation. Nebraska is the interesting one, though. Nebraska, we've had experience with Nebraska. Mm-hmm. We went out there, one of the great home venues in the nation. Unbelievable game day experience. And then we played them in the Rose Bowl, right? Now, that's back in 2000. And the move to the Big Ten, to me, did make sense in one respect for them. Their fan base goes from Nebraska to California. It is a huge fan base, probably more bigger than most people would expect.
Yeah, it's funny. We do, you know, analytics stuff for ESPN content, like what fan bases are the most engaged. And consistently after Alabama, Nebraska is number two. I mean, that is a huge and engaged fan base. But, you know, the questions are, do you have the recruiting ability to get enough good players there? I mean, again, that's a program that fired Bo Pelini after a bunch of 9-10 win seasons. Well, they'd probably kill for 9-10 win seasons.
Yeah, well, that's where they screwed up. Because
really interesting dynamic.
You know what happens, David? When you get to 9, if you stay with it, you're going to get to 11. You might take a little step back, but if you stay with it, you'll get the 10 or 11. But people get the 9. Jim Mandich, God bless his soul, he used to say, 9 is hard to get to. If you get the 9, you're probably going to get the 10.
Right.
But you're going to have to persevere, and people don't want to do it. What do you mean about the...
No patience anymore.
Before I let you go, ACC championship game, Virginia-Clemson now. When we start this segment with you, we were talking about the dominance of Clemson, and I think I read the number to Don last week. Clemson has gone over 50 points six times. I think it's 6 or 7 times, and they had done it like 5 in a row. Virginia, have any chance in this game?
I just don't see it. And I think Bronco Mendenhall is a heck of a football coach. He's done wonders at that program, but just the sheer talent level disparity is night and day. And, you know, they're just – Virginia's not a very explosive team. I don't know how you sustain drives consistently against that Clemson defense. And as good as I think it's sort of a very good blue-collar Bronco Mendenhall type of defense at Virginia, this Clemson offense is clicking on all cylinders right now. I think they heard some critics early in the year, and I would not want to be the defensive coordinator trying to figure out how to stop Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne right now. That's a tough road to go down. So I think at last I saw the spread was somewhere around 28. Yeah. I probably would go ahead and lay those points.
Trevor Lawrence, he put on a show last week, so I think people that were criticizing him, and here at the end of the year, he's hitting it full throttle now.
Yeah. It was probably not a good idea to poke the bear because you're angry Clemson, and you'd much rather have Clemson be apathetic about the playoff. Angry Clemson could be a tough one.
By the way, I don't know what the line would be if it's Clemson versus LSU or Clemson versus Ohio State. And we start talking about Clemson being number 3 in this thing, and and Dabo being upset, I would be upset too. I think they should be one or two. And if I'm Clemson, if I'm Ohio State or LSU or whoever else is going to get in there, I guess Georgia or Utah, I don't want to play Clemson.
Joe, I would tell you guys, I think that they should be one or two. I got no problem with that. I'd much rather be three or four if I'm Dabo Sweeney. Because I would aggravate my team to death about being disrespected. Yeah. And I think it's such a huge, huge mental advantage to him to be the underdog for a change.
And he, you know, look, he likes it. He likes the role. I think, you know, whoever they're playing, it doesn't bother him either. I mean, I think he has his team convinced that they are more than capable of going out and handling anyone. And, you know, the funny thing is if you look back over this recent history of Clemson's success, and they're going on every year since 2011, they've won double-digit games, and they go to their bowl games or they play these non-conference games where they're the underdog. They're you know, they're given points. They're getting points. And they, aside from those two games that they've lost to Alabama, they win them all. You know, and it was – I've seen bad – ish Clemson teams like the 2014 one when Deshaun Watson was out, go and spank Oklahoma in a bowl game when Clemson wasn't supposed to win. And I've seen him go against Alabama when they weren't supposed to win and win those games too. I think he is perfectly happy being told they're not supposed to win or they're not as good as these other guys. That's perfectly fine with him.
If it goes as expected this weekend, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU win, who's number four? Oklahoma, if they beat Baylor? Who gets in? Is it Oklahoma or Utah?
Boy, it's really it would certainly based on what the committee put out last night, it certainly would look like Utah. I would say maybe even the more interesting team to discuss would be Baylor too, because they dominated the first half of that game against Oklahoma and then obviously completely fell apart. But if they managed to come back and eradicate the one loss, I mean, that's a one-loss team, but they could get revenge for that one loss. And now you're saying, look, we've beaten everyone who was on our schedule this year. Nobody else can say that other than the three that are in. I think Baylor would have a good chance or a good case to be made and you know, add in wins over Oklahoma State and Iowa State and Kansas State and some other pretty decent wins for them too. I think Baylor has a conversation. Oklahoma, I think, would be in the mix, but I think Utah probably has the inside track right now. And then, you know, look, we were here this last year at the same time where Georgia almost knocked off Alabama, and all the Georgia fans thought they belonged in the playoff too. So I'm going to guess we have not heard the last of Georgia's case on this, regardless of how that game comes out too.
All right, very good. David, thanks so much for joining us. You've been a great guest. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's David Hale joining us on the Hurricane Hotline. Will Mowry is going to be with us next. Then we're going to have a little segment by ourselves, but let me leave you with this for a moment going into the break. Miami, Florida, Florida State. Well, every team in the state, as a matter of fact. Missed on Lamar Jackson.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Missed on Teddy Bridgewater.
That's right.
You know who the quarterback of Utah is now for the fourth year, right?
From Hollandale.
Kid from Hollandale.
That's right. And Florida.
Any one of those guys landing in orange and green or garnet and gold, that changes the programs probably aren't where they are right now.
The big three missed on the first-round draft pick.
Bortles
to Jacksonville, too.
So James Coley would always get a lot of criticism. I don't know why. And meanwhile, he's the offensive coordinator at Georgia, and they're playing for the championship on Saturday.
Right. The championship.
Playing for the SEC championship. Oh, you can't call plays. Really? Well, then the SEC championship.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.